From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Over the last few weeks, we have been focused on the matter of prayer as we make our way through Matthew's Gospel. Most recently, I was talking about the FACTS Prayer Guide, the word FACTS serving as a marvelous structure for our daily prayer time, in place of merely snorkeling in the surface waters of prayer. The FACTS acronym provides a means by which we can dive deep beneath the tumult and turbulence of the ocean to a place that is quiet and serene. Today I want to talk about the Jesus Prayer. And let me make a distinction here. In the year 2000, I began writing a book titled The Prayer of Jesus, by which I mean the Lord's Prayer. It was published a year later, and in 2002, it rose to number one on the Christian Marketplace bestseller list. But more importantly, it transformed my personal prayer life. Today, as I speak, nearly two decades later, another prayer has become transformative, but in a different way. The prayer of Jesus, or the Lord's Prayer, became my entryway into God's presence each and every day. The Jesus Prayer is the means by which I remain constant in prayer, and that throughout the day. The Jesus Prayer is simply, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, is rooted in the notion that we are to pray constantly. In the words of St. Paul, when he was speaking to the Thessalonian Christians, we are to pray without ceasing. To the Ephesian Christians, he said, pray at all times. To the Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer. To the Romans, he said, be devoted to prayer. All of this with a goal. And that goal is to nurture nearness to God. It is to experience the presence of God in much the same way that Moses experienced the presence of God in the flames of fire within a bush that burned but was not consumed. Moses said, that the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to Him. Jeremiah said much the same thing. When he called upon the name of the Lord, the ineffable came near and said to Moses, do not fear. He said the same thing to Jeremiah and to Zephaniah, noting that the meek and the humble, those who place their trust in the name of the Lord, will have their lips purified so that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve Him shoulder to shoulder. When I think about serving Him shoulder to shoulder, I think about what I say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, that we are to stand shoulder to shoulder with one another in the battle for life and truth. You know, prayer is food for the soul. It's sustenance for the spirit. And it is a means by which, as St. Peter put it, a means by which we may partake of the divine nature, a means by which we may experience fellowship in the Holy Trinity, or union with God, what's called deification. In the early teachings of the church, God became man so that man may become God. Not God in nature, but God's by grace, God's by participation in the divine nature. In the wisdom of St. Paul, through prayer, we can experience being in Christ and experience Christ being in us. When we sin, we sever the power cord that connects us to our Maker. But calling on the name of the Lord repairs the severed cord, and it reconnects us with the Lord of life and light. David's fevered cry, "Have mercy on me, O God," reminds us of the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. A prayer that reconnected David to the lover of his soul. A cry that is echoed throughout the New Testament text. And a cry that is to be our plea, our cry as well. Think about the lepers who shouted, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Or the Canaanite woman who cried out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And there are so many other examples that could be cited. Even now, as I speak, I think back to the words of Jesus during an encounter with blind Bartimaeus. You probably recall the story. He was leaving Jericho, and he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Of course, he was not spiritually blind in those words, but he was talking about physical blindness. And he wanted that to be healed. Likewise, we have the story in Scripture of a despised tax collector. It's chronicled in Luke's Gospel, where the tax collector beat his breast continuously. And he cried out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." All of these and many more serve as illustrations of sinful humanity crying out for mercy, crying as they sink ever deeper into the cauldrons of their own sin. Sin that not only disconnects them from their Maker, but sin that multiplies suffering and sadness around the globe. This, I believe, is why repeating the prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner," is so significant. It provides a way back from the edge of the abyss. It's a way of building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Unless we continuously ask for God's mercy, we're in danger of forgetting how desperately we need it. Perhaps this is the very reason that the Jesus prayer has been so transcendently significant throughout the history of the Christian church. It's a ladder of divine ascent. It's a way out of the abyss, a way into the presence of God. In the way of a pilgrim, in an anonymous 19th century Christian, practiced the Jesus Prayer until it became as natural as breathing. In the end, it became his gateway into the worship and enjoyment of God. We'll talk about this as we continue this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll talk about how the Jesus Prayer can be transformative in your life, just as it has been transformative in my own life. As we go to break, I want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Truly, you are making a difference for time and for eternity. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of CRI become even more critical. That in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up and speak up, all the more crucial. Very simply, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy. As I was saying before we went to break, in the way of a pilgrim, an anonymous 19th century Christian practiced the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Until this prayer became as natural as breathing. And in the end, it became his gateway into the worship and enjoyment of God. All of this, however, is but prologue to my own experience. Because I can say that for me, the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, has become a game changer. When my wandering and all too often anxious mind spins out of control, the Jesus prayer recenters me on all that really matters. Often in the middle of the night, I repeat the Jesus prayer again and again, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I often add, for thou alone art worthy, now and forever, into the ages of ages. Amen. As I repeat this prayer, my anxious mind becomes quiet and serene. It's as though each time the words flutter from my lips, the dunamis of God is reawakened within me. In the beginning, well, I worried that I may be participating in what Jesus described as vain repetitions, the very thing that Jesus charged pagans with doing. They think, said Jesus, that they will be heard because of the many words. Don't be like them. And yet after I memorized this warning many years ago, I became aware that as prologue to the Lord's Prayer, it's not intended to keep us from repeating this transformative Jesus prayer, but rather a warning against the repetition of words that are vain, empty words, meaningless phrases, insincere contrivances. The Jesus prayer, like the prayer our Lord taught his disciples to pray, commends itself indeed to the most superficial glance. It's short. It can be repeated myriad times in just the space of minutes. And yet, the words are transcendently powerful. Lord, the one in whom all things live and move and have their being. Jesus, of course, from the Hebrew Yeshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation. Christ. Christ means the Anointed One, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. One who shares the very nature of God. Have mercy on me. The plea of needy creatures to the one who knit them together in their mother's wombs. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, one who continually misses the mark. As was communicated with respect to the Lord's Prayer, the words of the Jesus Prayer are beautiful and balanced, yet none can say that he or she is familiar with the heights and depths that this prayer reveals, with the treasures it contains. With every passing day, this prayer has become ever dearer to me. I insert it between the words of my adorations and confessions. I repeat it as I drift off to sleep and during the daytime. It has become the principal means by which I discipline what I alluded to earlier as my wandering and anxious mind. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This prayer plugs me into all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. In the words of St. Paul, the one who is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And by the way, this is not an off-handed remark. It's not isolated. Again and again, St. Paul spoke of God's energy, which may so powerfully work not only within creation, but within you, within me. In her paraphrase of Philippians 2:13, Frederica Matthews Green, who has enlightened me greatly respecting the Jesus Prayer, underscores the reality that God is energizing in you both to will and to energize for his good pleasure. When God's energy works within us, life works. When it does not, well, union with him becomes unimaginable. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So let's review quickly what we've talked about over the last few days. We've talked about the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I reminded you that Jesus ends this prayer not with the words, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But rather with the words, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgiveness is so important. If you, even at this moment, have unforgiveness in your heart toward another person, perhaps even toward God, confess your sin. He's faithful and just. He will forgive your sin and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we learned the significance of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And then I went through the FACTS prayer acronym, a way of expressing our faith in God, our adoration, confessing our sins, thanking God for his many blessings, and then laying our requests before the Lord of the universe, knowing that he has our very best interest in mind, not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. And then, of course, what we've talked about today, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the means by which you and I may remain constant in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as I mentioned earlier, I often append to those remarks, for thou alone art worthy, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. This emphasis on prayer is an emphasis that cannot be overemphasized. We must remain constant in prayer. It is the cord that binds us to the lover of our soul. The next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm going to talk about fasting, the third strand of the triple braided cord. Fasting is often neglected, and yet transcendently important. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I certainly look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show, and thank all of those who make this broadcast an ongoing reality. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.